were these words that we have just read and heard from Moses to the Israelites who were awaiting their travel into the promised land, a journey that had taken generations. And Lord, we hear that message today as well, that we need to choose between life and death, between blessing and curse. And Lord, there are decisions that we make every day, small decisions. But Lord, we know that the big decisions are whether we will follow you or whether we will turn our back on you. We pray this day, O God, that this time together, that we may have open hearts and open minds to receive your Spirit, to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever gotten lost? I usually expect to take at least one detour whenever I travel to an unfamiliar location. I'm one of those persons for whom GPS was designed, and I often hear that annoying word, recalculating, emanating from that unit. For those of you who have driven in a foreign country, I can only imagine the additional challenges you have had to overcome in order to reach your destination. It's difficult enough driving a car or a vehicle in unfamiliar areas in one's native country. But think about some of these additional challenges when we attempt to navigate in a foreign country. Consider that some countries have traffic flow on the left side of the road, opposite to what we do in the U.S. And imagine the steering wheel being on what we consider the passenger side of the car. And we have to shift with our left hand instead of our right hand. Think about driving where the language, and therefore the signs, is foreign to us. I recall driving in Quebec, Canada many years ago, and it was helpful that I knew a very few French words that helped a little bit with the directionals, at least. But if we are unfamiliar with the language, and we come to a fork in the road, which way should we go? Driving in any of these unfamiliar situations could be dangerous, and we might feel we'd need a driving lesson to learn and practice the rules of the road. And that is what Moses provides to the Israelites in today's scripture. There's a sense in which today's passage can be thought of as a fork in the road directions. Deuteronomy as a whole is presented as a sermon by Moses to the people of Israel as they are camped on the far side of the Jordan River. They anticipate crossing into and entering the promised land very soon. The people have never been in Canaan or lived in any settled area. The generation that left Egypt at the time of the Exodus has died in the wilderness. And these people that Moses is addressing are their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, all born during the 40-year trek to Canaan. So to carry on the metaphor of driving, we might say that these Israelites are not familiar with the rules for navigating life in the Promised Land. So Moses, in what is the climax of his sermon, and whose own death is imminent, puts plainly to them that they are at a fork. And he says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Which way do they go? The Israelites are at a fork in their journey to the promised land, and they must decide which road to take. The way of life and blessings, or the way of death and curses. There's no question about which direction Moses wants the people to take. He says, choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the Hebrew word for blessing here denotes the power of life to expand and flourish in all ways. There is some notion of this idea in all cultures, but in Israel, blessing is not a sort of a free-floating life force, says commentator Robert Jensen. He says, but something that this blessing concept is linked exclusively to the Lord, that the blessing comes from the Lord. It's not just out there that anybody can have. For the Israelites and their religion, it's tied to the Lord. And conversely, the Hebrew word for curse is a complete deprivation of blessing. It's enfeeblement. It's existence without the expansion and flourishing that's implied in blessing. So here in this today's text, the people are presented with a clear-cut choice. There's no third option. Not to choose the way of blessing is to choose the way of the curse. Moses here is stressing that this was the primary choice upon which everything else in their lives depended. The choice they make, he says, changes everything. This reminds me of the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken, which says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. During the later era in Judah's history, after the scroll of Deuteronomy had dropped out of sight and been forgotten, King Josiah ordered a repair of the temple. During the work, the high priest found a scroll, which Bible scholars conclude was all or part of the book of Deuteronomy. And it was taken to the king, who had it read. When he heard what was written in Deuteronomy, he tore his clothes, scripture tells us, a common expression of grief. For the king recognized how far his people were from the way of blessing that the scroll described. That's the kind of importance today's scripture teaches. And the decision to which it calls us is clear-cut. Yes, we like to talk about gray areas and ambiguous situations. But Moses, having heard the word of the Lord, will not have any of that. There's no gray area. There's no middle road. There are two ways, and only two ways. And Moses declares God's way and the other way. And we have to choose. This is not just an Old Testament thing. For actually, Jesus said the same thing in other words when he said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. No middle ground or a third way is offered. And Jesus' disciples heard that message and learned that lesson. For Peter announced to the ruling authorities in Jerusalem following his arrest shortly after Pentecost, as recorded in the book of Acts, these words he proclaimed. We must obey God rather than any human authority. It was God's way or no way. Deuteronomy is not a self-help book or a personal improvement manual, and Moses is not a life coach. He's talking about a primary decision that defines all that we are. Will we be God's person or won't we? That's the choice. He's not saying, today you've got this decision, and tomorrow you're going to have this one, and another fork in the road. He's saying, this is the major fork in the road, and you must decide. Are you with God, or are you not with God? Moses is telling his people, and us as readers of Deuteronomy, that there are moral absolutes in life, that certain things are always right, and other things are always wrong. Yes, there are some things about God's ways that are unclear to us. And we do encounter some problems where the right direction is not absolutely apparent. But still, we need to be looking at what is apparent. But by and large, there's nothing ambiguous about God's way compared to our way or the way of the world. Moses' message is strong and straightforward. His direction is clear. One choice and only one choice is the correct choice, and the choice which will result in blessing. There are two words that Moses uses here that are keys to this reading. One of them is obey, and the other is love. And Moses links them both with blessing. He says, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Now, granted, we'll admit that obedience is not a very popular word today. We'd rather keep our options open and opt for the opposite of obedience, which we think of as being freedom. But the thing is, obedience and freedom are directly connected. As U.S. citizens, for example, we have freedom, but only within the bounds of the Constitution and the laws of the land. Freedom with no fetters at all, of course, leads to trouble, and we're likely to lose our freedom. In the same way, if we stay within the lines of God's highway, we are free to live without moral guilt and free to make all kinds of personal choices that enhance our happiness. But if we take a side road or a back road, a road we deem more scenic or exciting, the broad road rather than the narrow road, it's over, Moses says. We'll find that the road is strewn with litter and nails, and we're going to come to a dead end with an empty gas tank and a flat tire or two. Preacher and author Eugene Peterson notes, when he writes these words about Deuteronomy, that the book is full of commands. It's not a book that we're going to sit down this afternoon probably and say, oh, I'm going to enjoy some reading of the scripture this afternoon. It's full of commands. But a command is a word that calls us to live beyond what we presently understand or feel or want. He continues to write, everyone has choices to make. The choices are not trial and error guesses. They are informed by the commands of God. These commands do not restrict a natural freedom. They create the conditions for freedom. Peterson goes on to point out that the first word addressed to Adam by his creator is a command, which is found in Genesis chapter 1. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That was instructions. That was a command to Adam. And the author goes on and says, commands assume freedom and encourage response. Addressed by commands, we are trained in response ability, the ability to respond. The other key word in this passage today is love. Moses says that choosing life and blessing means that his people will love God, walk in God's ways, and observe God's commandments. And this love is a two-way street. God loves us, but we are also to love God. Whenever the word love is used in Deuteronomy, it's always an action, never simply a feeling. God's love in action delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. Israel's love for God and our love for God is also to be active and demonstrated through obedience to God's commandments. And so at some point we sit with our motors idling at a fork. And in truth, there are really only two choices, God's way or the other way. As biblical commentator William Barclay writes, all life concentrates on us at the crossroads. And here are the driving directions. Turn onto God's way. Let's pray together. Lord, we do seek directions from you. We hear from Moses. We hear from you through Moses in the written word in Deuteronomy that we have choices to make. We come to the fork in the road. We must make decisions. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be with us as we make those decisions. We hear so often the world pulling us one way, calling us down that pathway. And Lord, we just pray that your voice may be as loud calling us down your pathway. Lord, we seek to serve you, for we do love you. We are grateful for the love that has already been demonstrated to us and for us. And Lord, we know that you will continue to offer your love to us in the future. And we just pray, oh God, that we may be worthy of that love, that we may not only love you, but we may obey your commandments, that we may follow the way that you have planned for us. Lord, give us the driving directions we need through Scripture, through prayer and meditation, through other believers as we fellowship together, that all of those you use to communicate to us what you would have us to do. Lord, help us to be worthy of all that you have entrusted to us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.